This parsha is Parsha Shmini, so we're going to speak here about the laws of kashrus, which is dealing with this parsha. So we see that it says as follows: "Vaydeber Hashem al Moshe ben Aaron lemo aleihem." Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th perek, the first parsha. So we're speaking about kashrus. So it says that when God spoke to Moshe and Aaron, Lemor Elohim, speaking to them, Dabrua B'nai Israel, speak to the Jewish people, Lemor, saying, Zot HaChaya, this is the live animal, Asher Tochlu, which you should eat, Mikol HaBahema Asher Ala Aretz, from all the animals on the land, right? Then it goes and speaks about animals, and it tells you the animals. Then, afterwards, it speaks about the sea animals, the fish in water, right? Animals on land, animals in water. Then after that, it speaks about the animals in the sky, the birds, right? And then finally, it speaks about the Shmoneh Shratzim, the eight impure animals that we can't eat. So, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, that a person is made out of four elements. Everything, the truth, everything in the world is made out of four elements. He also explains that in the beginning of Bereishis. Let me show you what Bereishis says. It says, Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim v'et haaretz. God created the heavens and the earth. V'haaretz, that's the element of earth. Hayta tohu v'vohu, was empty. V'choshech, that's eish shchora, agabe eish levana. Eish can be dark, like the Torah was written, Eish Shchora, dark fire on Eish Levana. Al Pnei Tahom, there was Choshech Al Pnei Tahom, the depths. Veruach is against the element of wind. Ruach Elokim Marachefet is with the wind, because Kodesh Baruch Hu is like hovering Al Pnei Hamayim, that's waters, right? So we have all the four elements here. So we have the element that starts with earth, which is the basic one. Then it goes down. Eish, Ruach, and Mayim. And the lowest one is earth, because it's going on earth. So those are the four elements. So that's the hint that these four elements in creation, and from these four elements were created the whole of creation. Now these are spiritual elements. It doesn't mean like people in the past understood. Like they took these ideas, they made it very physical. The physical elements are a representation of the physical, of the spiritual. Right? Everything spiritual has a physical representation. So too, do these four elements, which are concepts, have a physical representation. So now, when we're speaking about the animals, a person's made up of a neshama, a soul, and he has what's called his garments, which is Yetzirah Tov, his Yetzirah, and his basis with the Neshama is these elements. The person's also made out of these elements, basic concepts. In psychology, Chaim Vital speaks about it in Shari Kedusha, it's a Musa book, and he speaks about what each element represents. I'm not going to speak about that, that's more psychology. I'm going to speak about this concept. Why? Maybe I should do. Because when I say that all of these animals are there's four categories, so we have animals on land, which represents this concept of Alpha, this concept of earth, i.e. the earthiness which is represented in these animals. That means when a person eats a kosher animal, he will be bringing to him those things which is represented in this concept of earth, these good aspects of self. If he eats a non-kosher animal, he will bring on himself the bad aspects of earth. What does earth represent? So Reb Chaim Vital says, earth, the concept of earth is something, like, if you think of earth is something, inertia, right? Something doesn't move, it's like, it also represents stability, right? So Reb Chaim Vital says that earth, the bad aspect of earth is?
Laziness
and depression. Lazy, atzlus v'atzvus. It says the good aspect of earth is simcha, simcha, joy. Stability, because it's the same thing. When a person, earth is something that is you're creative with. Joy comes from the expression of self. Mother Earth is that which expresses all that the earth has. Joy comes from self-creativity. That's the good aspect. So now, meat, right? We say, Ein simcha ela babasa v'yayin. Simcha comes from meat. That's the animals. So we see... It's simcha comes from meat. So when we have the animals which represent meat, if we eat kosher meat, so that can bring a person to simcha. It's machlokas, maybe means korbanos, the meat of korbanos, because then it's more of a mitzvah, but certainly meat on Shabbos or meat in Yom Tov, right? There's a simcha in the eating of meat. That's these animals. If you eat a non-kosher animal, just it says the concept of kashrus is that what you eat, right, gets turned into your blood. You eat, you convert it. I mean, physically, that's what happens. You convert it; it becomes part of your system. You're turning. So let me explain the Ramban. The Ramban says as follows: How Ramban asks the kasha, like every vegetarian asks this kasha, and Ramban also asks this kasha: How is it possible for you to kill an animal? Tzar bale chayim, you're causing pain to an animal. How are you allowed to pain an animal? So Ramban says, the reason we're allowed to pain an animal is because when we eat an animal, we elevate it. We take its flesh and we convert it into human flesh. It becomes an elevated thing. So therefore, that's the reason we're allowed to eat an animal. So it says the Ramban, and it doesn't say the Ramban, but the Gemara says in Psachim, that who's allowed to eat meat? Talmidei Chachamim. People who are on a high spiritual level. But in Am Haaretz, Asa babasa, an Amma Aretz is forbidden to eat meat. Because he's not raising, because the Gemara says, an Amma Aretz, right, if you give your daughter to an Amma Aretz, it's like giving your daughter to an animal. Giving him to an animal. He has, right? So it says, the concept of an Amma Aretz, he's a lower form. So he's not allowed to eat meat, because he doesn't convert that meat to a higher form.
A Talmid Chacham,
sorry?
I'm so sorry. All women are allowed to eat meat?
A Talmid Chacham means someone who wants to learn. If a person has a rotzen to learn, that makes him into a Talmid Chacham now. You're not nimdad, you're not judged on where you are, you're judged on what your rotzen to be is. If you're satisfied with your spiritual growth, even if you know all of Shas, you're an Amma Aretz. Talmidei Chachamim, bringing Gemara, Raya. Talmidei Chachamim, holchim mechayel lechayel. They're on a growth process. And Amma Aretz is on a static process. So anyone who wants to grow in his ruchnias has a getter of a Talmud Chacham. So he, when he eats meat, he converts it to a higher level. Because what happens? When a person eats meat, it comes to become part of his flesh and his blood. And this aspect of self, or his chalev, his fats, right? He's elevating to a higher self. But that aspect of self, dam hu ha-nefesh. We spoke about this when we spoke about the korbanos. Dam hu ha-nefesh. The nefesh of a person is in his dam. So the place for these arba yesodas, for these four foundations, is in the nefesh of a person. The lower aspect of self, because it's in the lower, the lower aspect of his neshama is connected to there. So we explained about the animals. Today are connected offer, and we said that everything you eat, right, is in your nefesh, has an effect on your nefesh. So there's two aspects we said in the midah of offer, or atzus for atzus, which is the bad. That means if you eat a non-kosher animal, it will be otem yulev. It will cause metamtem etalev, right? It'll close your heart and it will bring on those aspects of atzus for atzus if you eat non-kosher meat. I don't know if this is not for a non-Jew. This is for a Jew. These halachas are written for a Jew. A non-Jew doesn't have these aspects of kashrus. He has different aspects of kashrus which will also affect him. If a non-Jew eats an eva minachai, it will cause him to be more cruel. If a Jew eats non-kosher, if a non-Jew eats non-kosher, I don't know if it will cause him a difference. Although the Gemara does say that it does cause a difference in that's caused a difference because of what they eat. What you eat affects you. So now, when you eat kosher meat, we say the opposite of that midah of what's called atzlus v'atzlus, laziness and depression, is simcha. When a person's besimcha, when a person's in joy, he moves quicker. He does things. You'll see if you can tell if a person has joy or not. Not by what a smile he has, by how he moves. He's doing things the whole time. He's expression. Joy means expression. That's what afa is. Afa is the ability to express. That's in afa is like status quo. You can just leave it and nothing happens to it, or you can plant in it and grow a beautiful thing. So simcha comes from the ability of expressing your koach in the offer and grow, having something growing with it, right? Yeah. So the next one is about the fish. So fish are from water, right? And fish is connected mayim. What's mayim? Says Rabbeinu, Reb Chaim Vital says, the bad aspect of mayim is what?
Desire.
Yes, desire, taiva, and what else? Taiva. Opposite of taiva is chesed, is giving and caring. That's the opposite, right? All this, it comes from the same place. A person who desires something, why do you desire things? You ever smelt bread?
Yes.
Bread smells so much better than it tastes, right?
Whoa.
It's one of right. I mean, it's so much better than it tastes. But our desire, most things when you see them, actually look so much nicer than they taste. The smell of it, the desire, because there's a desire within you. There's an imagination of what it tastes like, or the smell already begins to make you think what it tastes like, or the look. The Gemara in Yuma says that when a person eats and he doesn't look at what he eats, I mean, he won't be satiated. What does it mean by that? Does it mean that if he stuffs himself, he won't be satiated? Of course, tomorrow's meat, you know, you eat a kilo of meat, you're going to be satiated, even if you don't see it, right? Doesn't mean that. It means if you eat what's normal for you to eat to be satiated, you don't see it, it won't satiate you. The satiation's also to do with texture and how you look at things, and the color and stuff like that. There's a concept like that. So, satiation or desire is associated with a little bit your imagination. Why do people do chesed? Who does more chesed? A guy who was poor, didn't have what to eat, and a poor guy comes up to him and says, please give me money. And now he's a rich guy. He'll give him, because he knows what it was like to be poor. He can feel his pain. He doesn't feel that pain of not eating for a day anymore, or eating for a few days, whatever, right? But he can feel that pain. He remembers what that felt like. His imagination makes him give. Chesed comes from feeling the other person, putting your imagination into him and see how does that guy feel, and feeling his position. That's where chesed comes. So it's the same, you know, it's a different side of the same coin, right? So now, why is fish associated with this? Kosher fish. We see by Noah, that fish weren't in the Avera of Noah. What was the Avera of Noah? Hishchit baset kol et darko. Animals went with other animals, man, whatever. It was a problem. Big problem. Hamas, Gezel. It was an overextension of chesed. It was an overextension of gvulot, of boundaries. Animals with other animals, people with other people. It was too much chesed. Taivas. Too much chesed is taiva. That's why it says, ach v'achot is chesed hu. It's an extension of too much of an extension. Midah chesed is a taiva. Right? So that's a bad form of chesed.
You hear 8:30?
8:30.
It's okay. So fish. What does fish do? So we see that fish represents this concept. They weren't in this Avera. So they somehow represent gvul. They somehow represent that they weren't in this area. They didn't mix. They didn't pass the gvul, right? They didn't pass that. And also fish isn't that sort of object that it has a lot of desire for. Fish isn't such a desirable. Meat is something people have desire for more than fish, right? Okay. Fish is associated with Yosef. Yosef represents Yisod. Yesod is the Ava, the organ of connection, right? That Ava connection is a concept of Ava. It also represents of love, right? Right? Hold on, what is it? We also say that fish, we associate with fish, why? Why? They don't have, there's no ayin hara. There's no ayin hara. Where does ayin hara come from? Ayin hara is the ayin, the eye of taking in, absorbing in. That's the eye of taivas. Fish don't have, are connected the eye of taivas, right? So fish represents that concept. Taivas is over desire, right? Ayin tov is when the eye is an eye of giving. So fish is connected ayin hara. So it's connected that concept of proper giving. You with me?
How does a fish properly give?
I don't know. It doesn't say a fish gives. It says that since fish are under the water and they're covered, so there's no ayin hara ein sholetet bo. So there's the sign, the symbol of no ayin hara, that ayin hara can't have dominion in it. So I'm explaining the concept, the midah of fish, which is water, is the midah of ava. Ayin tova is when you have a good heart or good eye to give to other people. That's the real shorish, that there's no ayin hara. You understand? That's what fish represent. Water, the sea, is called, in the Lashon HaGemara, is mayim she'ein lehem sof. We see that the land has a gvul. Water doesn't have a gvul. Like you were saying before, the water, if you place it, it just spreads. Mayim doesn't have a gvul. It can be bounded with boundaries, but in itself, it doesn't have a gvul. It takes the boundaries of whatever you put it into. Yeah? So, a fish lives in this place which has no boundaries. That's his domain. Yeah? Fish's domain is a place which has no boundaries. Chesed is the ability to give with no boundaries. And it's in a place where it's covered. You don't see fish. Animals you see. It's on land. You see them. Fish you don't see. When a person's giving is a giving without boundaries in an unseen way, that's a proper giving. That's what fish represents. They live in a place with no boundaries and which is covered. Therefore, there's no ayin hara sholetet b'hem. That's the midah. If a person lives with that midah, right? The midah of giving in a quiet way, that's the midah of Yesod. Because the connection of that Ava is a private connection. It's a giving in a private way. Then there's no ayin hara. Do you understand?
Yes.
So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph says, Amaru Yitzhak, Ein HaBrocha, Mitsuya, bracha isn't found. Ela bedava hasamui mina ayin, something which is hidden from vision, from people seeing. Shneema yitzav Hashem itcha, Hakadosh Baruch Hu will command you. Et habracha will command to be for you. Et habracha ba'asamecha, right? Ba'asamecha means literally means in your
storehouses.
Ba'asamecha is a lotion of samui mina ayin, closed away from the eye, right? So it says, Tana the Beir Yishma, Ein HaBrocha Metzuya, Brocha isn't found, Ela B'dava She'ein Ayin Sholetet Bo, that an eye doesn't have dominion over it. Shneema Yitzav Hashem Itcha Et HaBrocha Ba'asamecha. The same Pasuk. So it says, okay, that should be enough. So it says as follows, that Brocha, the Ayin Sholetet, what's this word, Ayin Sholetet Bo? And then the Gemara is going to explain that. So now the Gemara which says that ayin, that what's it called, bracha isn't in something which is madud or counted. Why is that? Bracha, right? What does bracha mean? Bracha means shefa without gvul. As soon as you count something, as soon as you see something, you magbil it. You put it in gvul. As soon as you put something within gvul, right? Do you have no bracha? Because bracha is something without gvul. Because bracha is the lashon of brecha. Brecha means the brecha. No, the slow. Brecha elyon, the like a the river, the higher pool. That means when you bracha, also the lashon of bracha comes from berech, knee. When I bow down my knee, when I bend myself to something which is much higher than me, Ayah Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's the Brecha Elyon, he's the Shefa, he's the influence, the higher influence, when I nullify myself to him, I receive Bracha. I receive all the Shefa that comes from above. If that Shefa which comes from him, and therefore by definition, is not something finite, I put it in Gvul, I cut off that Brecha. I'm cutting off the Bracha.
So, what are you using Shefa?
Shefa, Shin Pei Ayin. Shefa means influence. When I influence from Kodesh Baruch Hu, he wants to give us as much as we can. But if I count it, if I put it within Gvul, I'm nullifying the ability of giving me that Shefa. You understand? So that's the concept of something which is hidden, so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give me that Shefa in its full form. If I count it, right, if it's open, that means it's counted, it's seen, therefore it has a gvul to how much can be given to me. Clear? Naturally, this is a person has to understand, a person naturally, who's nullifying himself to his Creator, he naturally has bracha. The only thing that prevents him having bracha, right? Explain to this. Okay. The only thing that prevents him having bracha is if he himself is mema'et in his bracha by publicizing it or by counting it. Now, since bracha comes, we said from midas yisod, from the midah of yisod, so that means all those things which are called pgam of the yisod, which we called something which is blemishes that midah. Right? So anything which has that midah, like speech is midah seyesod, or midah seyesod is the lower aspect of self. Any form of expression, of wasted expression, right, is the gam of yesod. Wasted dibur, wasted expression of self. That all those things are those things which are monea, prevent a person from having bracha in his life. You understand? Fish are animals that always go together. They're like a school of fish. You always speak about a school of fish, a lot of fish together. They're like very collective animals. They're not like individuals. Maybe the bigger fish are more individual, but the smaller fish, and certainly the kosher fish, are always together. So it's more of a collective. There's more of a chibur, a connection with fish than there are with other animals by nature. So now. There's the birds. The birds is connected ruach, because the birds they fly in the sky. That's wind. So ruach is connected dibur, is against speech. Birds cheap, like by metzora. So when a person does a bad dibur, what's the korban that he brings? He brings a bird, which is connected, and he sends him away, and he cheeps, like the Matsura was cheeping. He goes and chatters and speaks. That's connected the birds. So Dibur is connected the birds. That's Dibur Ra is the bad expression of Ruach. Dibur Tov is obviously a good expression of Ruach. So that means connected Torah and stuff like that. But Dibur Ra is Lashon Hara and all those sorts of things, right? So that's the connected the birds. So I'm just going to do this quickly now. The Shmona Shrotzim is a little hard to understand. Why Shmona? And he says, Keneged, you ask, is it Keneged the Shmona of the Shmini? Shmini of Mila, all these things. Shmini, there's always seven things that represent Teva. Seven things that represent the natural form of the world. 7 days of the week. There's always seven, right? Seven Shemitah years, there's a cycle of seven. Normality is seven. The Yovel is the 50th, or Shavuot, Chag HaShavuot, is the 50th. That's beyond Teva. It's the Shahr HaNun. Eight also represents this concept of the eighth sphere, which is Bina, which is above Teva, which is above normal. So the revelation of the Mishkan, the Chinuch of the Mishkan, was the revelation of this eighth aspect, the Alufo Shel Olam, the Shahr HaNun, the connection of Klal Yisrael to the higher worlds. That's what the Mishkan represents. The Shmoneh Shiratzim, which represent the concept of Eish, of fire, right? So fire is what we call the bad aspect of fire, is gaiva and taiva. Gaiva and chaos. Arrogance and anger.
Chaos?
Chaos is anger. Arrogance and anger, that's fire, that's a bad. The good aspect of fire is that a person uses his power, his fire, to connect in a very powerful way to his creator. Like, you know, you in a fiery way, we say.
Passionate.
A passionate, fiery way to his creator. That's the good use of power. That means he's using all his kohot, all his strengths, to nullify himself to something higher. That's humility. When all your strengths are directed in a fire, in a passionate way to your creator, and to nullify yourself, that's a good use of power. The Shemoneh Shratzim represent, just as you have the eighth level, which represents the connection to the higher worlds, and that you do with the Koach of Eish, the passionate way you connect to your creator, like you daven with a passion, you can learn Torah with a passion, you do things which are spiritual with a passion, you can everything in the world which is bad, you can also do with a passion. And that koach of fire, right, or that power over people, which is like arrogance or anger, which can be used for those things, right, power over, those bad aspects are represented in the Shemoneh Shratzim, that eighth concept. So that's using your passion to connect to the lower worlds, the lower things. That's why these things are like not creepy crawlies, but they're the lower aspects. They're the lower forms of animals.
Snakes.
Yeah, it's not snakes. They're Shemoneh Shratzim. I'm not going to go into them. Different types of lower forms. I can't go into why. And they are, so it's explained, Rabbeinu Bechaya, I don't know, they created, they had the midah of Eish. But connecting to the lower forms in this world with your passion is, that's what brings on, those are what's represented in the Shemoneh Shratzim. So by eating those things, you have more of a passion to connect to the lower self. By eating those things, which are kosher, which I don't think is kosher, by Shratzim. I don't know if there's anything kosher by Shratzim. It's only, I don't know if it is. But those are connected, those things of power.
Are they related to art?
Eish, the opposite of Eish is humility. That's the passion of the desire to connect and nullify yourself to something higher. So since the opposite of Eish is humility, there can't be something to eat. It has to be something of nullification. It has to be a nullification of the Shemoneh Shratzim, not something you positively eat. There's no kosher Eish.